Last time on CityCast Denver.
Well, currently, hookah lounges in Denver can stay open as late as they'd like.
But tomorrow, a city council committee will discuss a midnight closing time to help cut late night crime.
A neighbor up there got their window blown out with a gunshot, and then the police said that it was gang activity.
You know, that's why all these people set up a little thing to get rid of the hookah place. And so they're trying to do the same thing with the marijuana place now.
A big step for Colorado's marijuana industry. For the first time, Denver will start accepting applications for pot hospitality businesses.
The current owner of the building came by and asked her to sign a petition, and then, like, 5 minutes later, somebody from the neighborhood was like, hey, will you sign our counter petition?
So you do have a position on it. You think there shouldn't be a public consumption lounge at that location?
Yes, I am opposed to that license at that location. Hmm.
Have you talked to the property owner?
Property owner still has never reached out to me.
I've been looking into this situation at 1800 South Broadway for a few weeks now. And after talking to all those people you just heard, one thing that's clear is that the owner of the building where Habibi Hookah Cafe used to be has lost the trust of the community. They blame him, at least in part, for all the problems in the neighborhood last year. But his application to open a weed lounge should be about more than late night partying and alleged gang violence. It should be about weed. Denver's last attempt at allowing public consumption businesses was so restrictive that only one could ever open. So if we want it to actually work this time, if we want to foster this growing industry and reap some of the collective benefits of our international weed reputation, we have to make space for it. So why not here, at this one address, in the middle of the strip of South Broadway they call the Green Mile? Today is Monday, April 11th. I'm Paul Caroli, and this is 1800 South Broadway, Part 2. Okay, before we get into this, I have to apologize. Bree and Xandra are out today, so it is just me to introduce you to Josh Horwitz, the young man who now owns 1800 South Broadway. He's the one applying for a marijuana hospitality permit at that location. Josh, we should say that your lawyer, Tom, is also on the line.
He is.
We've been talking for a few minutes now already about this situation revolving around the property at 1800 South Broadway, which is your family's property. It's been in your family for a long time.
It has. So this was my father's property up until the beginning of last year, 2021. He got diagnosed with brain cancer in, I think, August of 2019, or 2020, actually, 2020. So towards the end of that year, we were in a situation where I was, you know, having to take over his phone calls and you know, friends and family reaching out. So I had his phone, and that's kind of when I also had to start taking care of his house and then this property where this tenant was. So, you know, a couple weeks after I started taking care of everything, that's when I was reached out to, I think by email, by a couple of the close residential neighbors. And they, you know, they expressed what has been going on. And it was a total surprise for my siblings and I. At this time, my father was incapacitated and we couldn't really make any comments with him. But, you know, we had no idea because my dad never really brought it up. And, you know, we were never really included in this property just because it's, you know, obviously it's not ours. It was my father's. So mm-hmm. We never really talked about any of that stuff.
Josh told me that Zoom call with the neighbors was the first time he heard anything about late night partying or violence at 1800 South Broadway.
Which is, you know, really concerning, especially coming from someone like me who goes to bed at like 8:30 at night. So we had that call and, you know, it took us by surprise. So, you know, first off, that was the first time we ever met the neighbors, you know. And, you know, we kind of let them know, like, hey, you know, our situation with my dad, at the time it was still his building. He was still alive, but we were kind of going through the whole, you know, process with the estate attorney, getting everything, you know, signed over, power of attorney and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So after that call happened, you know, I spoke with my siblings and, you know, they said like, we need to meet with the tenant and give him a, you know, give him a violation notice of this lease. So I met with the tenant, you know, let him know this is, you know, these are the complaints that we're getting and, you know, this needs to stop or we're going to have further issues. So I didn't hear from the neighbors for a couple of weeks. So I assumed things went pretty well. And then I heard about a shooting that was happening or that happened,
right outside the property.
So that's when I got Tom on board with this conflict. And I said, you know, we need to get this neighbor out of here. And at that time we were also in contact with the city, who was assisting us in that because we had a lease with the tenant. So we needed to figure out a way to evict him properly, which we did with the city. And it was, you know, it was at the time where it was a very, you know, we were dealing with my father who passed away way too young, in a very upsetting, you know, situation. But it was just a very overwhelming and pretty, pretty awful experience when coming to evict this tenant. You know, it was super stressful. We had just a bunch of conflicts arose.
I mentioned this last time, but I never did get a hold of the old tenant, so I don't know if he'd corroborate any of this. I do know from one of my other sources that his main argument was that the people who were making the problems at the cafe weren't his people, like they weren't his customers. He said that they would go drinking at the bars up the street, and then when the bars closed, they would come hang out in his parking lot and make trouble. That's secondhand information, though, so you know how it is.
And I don't know how long that tenant was there. I do know he bought it from his family member. I don't know if it's a cousin or something, but I think he was fairly new in that space because one of the neighbors also told me that they didn't have any issues with the old tenant. It's ever since this new tenant started running the business. So again, I was never
interesting.
I was never included or related into that property. So I don't know when those dates happened or whatever.
Josh told me that he worked with the city to evict the old tenant. And since October, 1800 South Broadway has been sitting vacant while Josh and his siblings sort out their father's affairs. And by coincidence, it was during that same period that the city finally opened up applications for marijuana hospitality licenses. And for Josh, that represented a lot more than a business opportunity.
Yeah, so it stems from my father, actually, and I'm doing it in his memory and, you know, for his legacy.
This episode is brought to you by the Museum of Outdoor Arts. Because on Sunday, April 28th, the museum is hosting La Primavera Festival, a celebration of spring, to kick off event season at Marjorie Park. La Primavera Festival is a family-friendly event inspired in part by the Gaelic Bealtaine celebration and European May Day marking the beginning of summer. And the star of the show is really something special. They're premiering the latest permanent installation by local artist Lonnie Hansen. It's called The Cabinet of Curiosities and Impossibilities. Hansen describes it as an enchanting homage to English curio shops, featuring a collection of relics from fairy tales and nursery rhymes that tell stories about early optics, geometry, magical tools, celestial wonders, and more. The festival includes a pancake brunch, live Celtic music, maypole dancing, flower crown and basket making, yard games, and a bar for adult beverages. Tickets are available now at moaonline.org. That's moaonline.org.
At first, I thought it was kind of strange, the idea that Josh would be carrying on some family tradition by opening a weed business. But Josh's father, Steve Horwitz, was one of the original ganjapreneurs. He snagged a medical marijuana dispensary license early on and opened a spot on South Broadway that he called Ganja Gourmet.
It was one of the first dispensaries that was open in Denver. And when he did start it, it was actually a sit-down restaurant where you could come in, sit at the bar, and order pizza or jambalaya, or he even had my great grandmother's cheesecake recipe with it being infused with marijuana.
I've reported on the weed business enough to know that in those early days, It was wide open. No one really knew what it was going to feel like to walk into a weed business, let alone what those businesses should even be. So when Steve Horwitz opened something as odd as Ganja Gourmet, it turned some heads. Here's some footage of him talking about his proto-weed hospitality business with a CNN reporter from 2009.
You know, the whole thing is legal as long as you have your medical marijuana card.
That card gets you into Ganja Gourmet, where you can belly up to the bud bar, as in marijuana bud.
What we'd like them to do is come sit at the bar and give us their order. And then if they want to choose a table, they could choose a table, they could sit on the couch, and we'll bring the food to them.
Horowitz says he's owned the building for more than a dozen years and used to make those little magnets that real estate agents give out. But that tanked with the real estate market, and he decided to look into opening a medical marijuana dispensary.
What I discovered is that they all ran good businesses, but they were all about getting the patient in, selling them the medicine, and getting them out.
So that's why Steve dreamed of a place where people could come and eat, get high, and hang out and do whatever. But he had a problem. Normal restaurants rely on a neighborhood and regulars. And because of the regulations back then, this one would have to rely only on medical marijuana cardholders.
So not a lot of the nearby neighborhoods or, you know, residents were allowed to come and consume or eat some food. You'd have to have a medical license. The only time I was in there, because I was under 21, you know, I think the whole time he was open for business for the on-site consumption. So I wasn't really allowed to go in there, but there was one time I was a kid and I snuck in because I had to go to the bathroom because he usually like left me in the car in the parking lot for 5 minutes while I went to go grab the mail. So I sneaked in and I saw, you know, a cancer patient and an old veteran who was handicapped. I don't think he had any legs. And they were sitting down together at the bar and they were both eating, you know, infused food and just laughing. And it was just a great scene. You know, the medical side of it, you know, really showed that, you know, how great of a product that is.
Steve's idea for a weed restaurant was so bold, it even captured national attention.
A new medical marijuana shop in Denver called the Ganja Gourmet. That's the name, Ganja Gourmet. Is now serving a marijuana pizza. Pizza made with marijuana. Talk about killing two birds with one stone, right? I mean you're going to order the pizza anyway.
It's surreal watching these old videos now, knowing what happened to Steve Horwitz, but it does all kind of fit together with what Josh told me about his father's attitude and approach to life.
I think probably what my dad would say is all press is good press. And I remember him, he was laughing at it, like, you know, he was laughing at it because it still gets his name out there. I still think it was great and it shows his personality and his character, which is, you know, what everyone remembers him by.
As the city slowly figured out how it was going to regulate this new industry, all those early weed restaurants and weed dinners were shut down. And that had a huge effect on fledgling businesses like Steve's. Here's another clip of Steve from a few years after the national buzz died down. It's from a Rocky Mountain PBS documentary that was posted to YouTube in 2012.
On a whole, this is a very, very difficult business. And it's been a very, and I was never in this business before. I never grew marijuana before, and I never sold marijuana before. I just was a user, but I never was in the business. So I've really gotten my ass kicked because a lot of the people in the business had much more experience than I did.
Steve ultimately converted Ganja Gourmet into a regular old dispensary that's still open at 1810 South Broadway, right next door to where Josh wants to open his weed lounge.
You know, now, so we'd be open for rec and medical, or I guess it's rec, but, you know, medical patients could come in, of course, you know, just buy it for rec, where then the neighborhood could actually be part of the community and can take advantage of having it so nearby, the Green Mile and Flat Park. So it wasn't his goal or dream to own a dispensary. It was to have fun with his work and have, you know, and make food with you know, marijuana in it. Very close to the time of him passing, I received an article that Denver is going to start allowing on-site consumption. And, you know, kind of warmed my heart, gave me a weird feeling that, you know, just like the timeline of that, because my dad, you know, if my dad was, you know, didn't get sick, I think he would have absolutely loved to, you know, start his dream over again. So I spoke with my two siblings and I said, I really want to do this for Dad. First off, it's obviously a huge step to do it in his memory because it's an expensive business to start. It's very highly regulated. That's why I had to hire a consultant and an attorney to make sure I'm in line with everything that I need to be.
Yeah, I mean, these regulations are so complicated.
Right. Yeah. And I actually have like 150 pages of paper sitting on my desk right now of the regulations. I try to read it once a week. So, or read different sections of it once a week. So, I chatted with both my siblings and, we said that, Dad would be really proud if I did it. I am pretty business sophisticated. I've owned a real estate company since 2017. That's been very successful. And I've, did my feet in a couple other ventures as well. And this is something that, I think I can also have a lot of fun with doing as well, kind of being part of the Green Mile Street on Broadway, where we could have, the whole retail community on Broadway kind of benefiting from this place.
Yeah, that's another interesting part of this, actually. Before we go on to let the neighbors' response, this strip of Broadway, there's nightlife here. There's restaurants, there's bars, this kind of weed lounge. Like, it doesn't seem to me as being that far out of, what you would expect to see there. At least that's my understanding of what the vision of what Denver's new, regulatory framework is they want these kinds of businesses to open in places like this, right?
Absolutely. And so since it's been sitting vacant for the last 6 months, I've actually gotten calls from people who noticed it was vacant and they were interested in, buying it or leasing it out. And I said, well, what's your use going to be? And I'm pretty sure just about every one of them said it'd be a marijuana use. So we're right in the Green Mile. Mm-hmm. So it's a couple different business plans that's possible, but I have dispensaries that would love to, have collaborations there. Mm-hmm. Because right now, I've experienced this with my dad's dispensary right next door in Contra Gourmet, that, Green Mile is a very, very popular visited street for tourists. So when I go to the store, a large percentage of the time there's someone there that is from out of state and they're asking hey, where can we go, smoke this? Mm-hmm. And we don't have an answer. There's no place, so then these people start smoking either in their cars or, they go in our parking lot. I've had to kick people out of our parking lot. So it's actually going to be a great place where people could come and safely consume, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which I think will be also a great benefit for that area as well.
Yeah. So it's like, this is something your dad always wanted. It seems like other people think this is a viable business opportunity. You see this as an opportunity, I imagine. You haven't said that directly, but this is clearly a business with a lot of potential. This is the beginning of what could be a big thing. And then when did you start hearing that there might be some pushback from the neighbors?
Well, I met with a neighbor who I've known for about a year or two. He kind of made me aware of it. So since then, since I found out that there's some neighbors that's, not in favor of it, I've been, I went door knocking on Wednesday. I'm going door knocking right after this call to kind of introduce myself. Cause it's obvious, it's a trust thing. And I don't think anyone really knows me in this neighborhood. They might know my father, but they don't know who I am. And I think if they got the chance to speak with me, they might actually be excited and very comfortable that I'll be operating this business and running it.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the whole thing here though, because we all know what happened last year and, a lot of the neighbors think you were at least partly to blame, but I think that even more than that, what they want to know is that the problems are over, So I don't know. What can you tell them to reassure them? Do you have a plan, a security plan?
Yeah. So the story is that the old tenant was a very poor business operator, business owner. He let his customers treat that area and the neighborhood very poorly. He'd had no control over what they were doing, how they were acting. And also it's in a, he was in a non-regulated industry where, they didn't have hour restrictions. We are the opposite. We have one of the most restrictive regulated industries that you could get into. We also have hour restrictions. We're allowed to be open until 2 a.m., but right now my business plan is just 12 to 12. So, I'm not planning on having people there after midnight. I know that there's a bunch of bars and other places that are open till 2 a.m. That's fine, but that's not really my goal. Mm. We have two sections of this building. There's one that's on the front, that's on like the kind of the storefront, so it's very light. It's gonna be kind of a more modern coffee shop vibe, but we're gonna have high speed Wi-Fi. We're gonna have some pastries, breakfast pastries, dessert pastries, sandwiches where, maybe some people from DU or just Platte Park that want to come in and, get a coffee and maybe get a piece of an edible and then work on our high speed Wi-Fi or do school or whatever they need to do. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to be like a late night place to go to. And we're just going to be highly regulated. We're going to have a lot more, we're going to have security cameras all over. We're just going to be a lot more, I guess, secure than any other industry, and especially more than the old tenant.
Thanks so much for talking to me about this, Josh.
Take care.
Thanks, Paul.
So that was Josh Horwitz. His story. That's who he is. His hearing is now scheduled for early May, so he has plenty of time to knock on doors and build some trust before then. And remember, the city of Denver says that it really does matter what the neighbors say at that meeting. But I want to hear from you. Now that you know both sides, what do you think about 1800 South Broadway? Should he be able to open the Weed Lounge or not? Leave us a voicemail with your name and neighborhood, and you might hear it on the show later this week. That number is 720-500-5418. That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. If you enjoyed the show, why not take a minute and tell a friend about us? Rate the show wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to our morning newsletter, where today, Peyton's got a rundown of Denver's history with marijuana regulations. Back and forth and back and forth. It's really interesting and informed the way that I thought about this whole story with Josh Horwitz. You can read that and learn more about us at denver.citycast.fm. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Bye.